The grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, behold the hand of the Lord who raises the dead. Death, as an enemy, is a fearsome foe. But Christ, by his death and resurrection from the dead, has removed the sting of death forever for all who trust in him for their salvation. Therefore, strive to fight back that natural fear of death that lives in us all. Admittedly, when we in and of ourselves stand in death's shadow, we are powerless against it. Death is no respecter of persons, for death cuts down all people who face it, the young, the old, the sick, the healthy, men, women, and children alike. And it seems that no matter how much we try to prepare ourselves to face death, no matter how much we try to brace ourselves for the impact that is coming when it hits, truly we who remain behind to mourn for the dead, we are never prepared for it. Death always blindsides us. It brings us to our knees in sorrow and despair. Therefore, even though death is a defeated foe by the cross of Christ, it is still a foe nonetheless. For even Jesus himself, who knew that he was going to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, here even Jesus himself succumbed to death's ability to reduce a man to tears. For truly our text tells us that Jesus, upon taking in the grief of those around him over Lazarus's death, that he wept, he mourned with the others, for death is not what God wanted for his children, and to experience its sting, no matter how much hope one has, is always dreadful. In the Garden of Eden, God gave us the tree of life because he wanted us to have life, eternal life, and to never know the sting of death. In a sense, by forbidding us to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God was saying, death belongs to me, it is evil, and I want you to have nothing to do with it. A death and the knowledge of good and evil is only for me. I alone can handle these things. You cannot handle them. And therefore, do not eat of that tree, for the day that you do, you will know what death is. And I don't want you to suffer that. And yet, our father and mother, Adam and Eve, succumbed to temptation. They coveted that which God had not given them. Supposing that God was withholding something good from them, they called God a liar. And they took that which was God's alone and ate. They died, just as God had warned them. And as a result, we who have inherited their sin, their rebellion against God, we too die. The Bible says, the soul that sins shall die. All die. Therefore, all are sinners. As inheritors of Adam's sin, we die. And as those who are also guilty of committing our own sins, we die. And sadly, because of Adam's rebellion against God, the knowledge of evil is now common knowledge throughout the world. And whether one is a Christian living with the hope of the resurrection from the dead unto eternal life or not, whether a person is a believer or an unbeliever, the knowledge of evil that is pervasive throughout the world and the death that follows us, they reduce us to tears of sorrow for all that they rob from us. Life, happiness, contentment, health, peace with God and peace with our fellow man. Truly, there is none who can square off against death and emerge victorious. That is, except God himself. For God is life, and eternal life at that. He is the inextinguishable eternal flame of life, and truly death is as nothing to him. A God, man handles death like a child's plaything. He dispels it and sends it fleeing as easily as darkness in a dark room flees the light when someone flicks on the light switch. Yes, God alone has the power over death. And this is why Jesus could raise the dead with nothing more than a word. For he himself is God in the flesh. He commands dead Lazarus to come forth from the tomb. And dead Lazarus comes forth alive and well, no longer dead. The darkness of death encountered the eternal light, the world, God himself in human flesh, Jesus Christ, and death fled away in terror. For in the presence of God, death dies. Here it's true that death is as nothing to God. And it's true that in the presence of God, who is in and of himself unquenchable life, it is true that in the presence of God, death dies. But nonetheless, does not mean that the death of death came without a cost. It does not mean that the death of death came without pain and suffering and sacrifice. And not on our part, but on God's part. For in order for God to kill death for us, he himself had to die. He had to face death on its own turf, so to speak. And he did just that. Jesus, God in the flesh, did not just die any death, but he died on a cross, humbled and shamed, crucified for you as a payment for your sin. Because of this, you are forgiven. By believing this, God declares you to be righteous and innocent before him. Your sins are paid for. Heaven is your home. Now, by the Son of God's death on the cross for you, he has released you from all sin, guilt, and shame forever. And moreover, this Jesus, by whom the hand of the Lord raised the dead, God himself has raised him from the dead unto eternal life, thereby defeating death forever. Therefore, Christ's victory over death is your victory over death. His resurrection from the dead is your resurrection from the dead. And his eternal life is now your eternal life. By grace, through faith in him, by no merit or worthiness in yourself, God gives this to you freely. Behold, the hand of the Lord who raises the dead, and who will one day bodily raise you from the dead, never to die again. It almost makes us want to shout, hallelujah. I think we'll have to wait for Easter for that. It's interesting here in our text how Jesus responded to the news that Lazarus was sick, wherein the messengers were begging Jesus to come quickly to Bethany and heal him. Upon receiving this news, Jesus said, "This illness does not lead to death." And yet, Lazarus died. And knowing that Jesus is never wrong, what is Jesus teaching us here? The Bible tells us that when we are born into this world, having inherited sin from Adam, we are born in trespasses and sins, which means we are born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Consequently, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, unless one is born again, that is, born from above, born from heaven, that is, made spiritually alive, then they cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, if one is not made spiritually alive by being born from above, then they, after physical death, will enter eternal death and be separated from God forever. But when one hears the gospel, that is the good news of Christ, crucified for you for the forgiveness of sins, and they believe it, the Bible says that person is made alive in Christ. The promise of this good news is sealed in the waters of holy baptism, and there God's judgment falls and kills that old Adam in us and raises us up with Christ to newness of life in the Holy Spirit, thereby effectively ushering us from death to eternal life. And I said all that to say this, as baptized the children of God in Christ, we have already died. Our sins have already been judged and killed with Christ on the cross. This is why Jesus could say regarding Lazarus, this illness does not lead to death. For Lazarus, as a believer in Jesus, had already died. Having died already in Christ, when he then, quote, died physically. He was not subjected to the eternal death that unbelievers face. Having already died in Christ, he had already passed from death to life. Therefore, Jesus speaks of Lazarus' death as sleep. The account reads like this: "But when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it.' And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.'" Here we are encouraged, are we not? From God's perspective, not only is our death in this world not counted as death, but sleep only, but Jesus says, "I go to wake him up." That is, to resurrect him from death to life. Now, the sad thing about Lazarus was this: he was resurrected from the dead, but he eventually died again and is waiting to be resurrected yet again. The only resurrection from the dead that matters is Jesus' resurrection from the dead. For truly, he is the first to rise from the dead to eternal life. And all who believe in him also will be awakened from the sleep of their graves to eternal life. And we will forever be with the Lord. By this, Jesus, the Son of God, is glorified. Because of this, we who are forgiven and saved by his blood will forever sing praises to his holy name, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Behold, the hand of the Lord who raises the dead. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And the church of the Lord said, Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.